opening and closing this weekend, a two-night amazing opportunity on Friday and Saturday in the South Perry District, is a Tony Kushner play called A Bright Room Called Day. We're going to spend some time with the cast, the directors, the instigators, and do that. But first, let's get in the mood with the setting of the play, which is Weimar, Germany. The Overture to the Threepenny Opera of Kurt Weill, played there by the Contemporary Chamber Ensemble, to get us in the mood for this play, which is Friday and Saturday night at South Perry Yoga, which is 915 South Perry Street in the groovy South Perry District of Spokane. Tony Kushner's play, A Bright Room Called Day. And we're calling him the instigator, Chris Jensen, on the person who I think has gotten this project rolling. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Vern.
And talk about your relationship with this play.
Sure. So I was a theater critic for 10 years, first in Spokane, then in Seattle and San Francisco. And I saw a production of this play, Tony Kushner's play, A Bright Room Called Day, in Seattle about 15 years ago. And it just really left a mark on me. It was such a good production, such a strong production. And I especially remember the end of the first act. And this is Tony Kushner, who wrote Angels in America. And so he often has these sort of mystical or supernatural elements in his plays. And not to give away too much, but the devil makes an entrance at the end of the first act of A Bright Room Called Day. And he appears as a businessman in Berlin in 1933, which seems about right. And in the production that I saw, is just one of those rare moments where I was just deeply chilled by this performance by this man who was playing the devil, and by the production as a whole. And in recent months, specifically last November, this play came to mind for me due to national events, political events. And I was at a Terrain function shortly after the election. And I ran into Sean Brow, who is the owner of South Perry Yoga, and she and I had talked before about like using this performance space, or using this space, this beautiful yoga space. It was originally an elementary school gymnasium as a performance space.
Yeah, I'm going to interject because it's beautiful and redone in many ways, but it also has that old vibe that would feel like, you know, 1930s Germany should take place, and you should right. have an out-of-tune upright piano in the corner.
Right, right, yeah. Absolutely. And so, and I said to her, you know, I just had remembered this play that I'd seen, and I thought it would be maybe a good opportunity for us to to maybe do a stage reading of this play in this space. And so from that point on, from last November on, Sean and I have been working together, and we brought in Susan in November, right around the end of November, beginning of December, to direct. And then it was just a matter of finding a right date. Okay. And so it's gone from there.
Well, we'll move to Susan Hardy in a minute, but since you talked about the devil, who plays the devil in this?
That is Wes Dietrich, a fabulous actor.
There we go. Okay, Susan Hardy, who loves to jump in on fascinating projects, tell me about this. And when were you at all? I suppose the thing that would have grabbed you is that if Tony Kushner's name on it, one's going to pay attention, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Chris and I were doing a different project together when he gave me the script to read, and I pretty much inhaled it. It's a fascinating script and, of course, very prescient to our times right now, I think for many people. So, a lot of wonderful opportunity. And so I was, what I found, what sang to me about the script was, you know, Kushner is just fantastic. I mean, he blends so many different styles into one piece, and somehow it all works so incredibly beautifully. And the supernatural elements. Chris talked about the devil coming for a visit, dropping by for a visit. We also have other ways in which the supernatural touch these characters, and one of which is a character named Dialta, who is an old, old woman who may or may not be real, who haunts the character of Agnes, who Pam plays. And so the audience is left thinking, is this real? Is this not? What does this mean? There's a lot of unanswered questions that the audience, I hope, will come back and think about and ruminate on so many levels. And I think that's what spoke to me most about this.
And play. Just for a little level setting, the play is about a group of friends in Berlin in 1932 mm-hmm. and 1933.
About 10 people or so in the cast.
And they're all in one way or another more or less going to be marked by the Third Reich. They're destined to be in the crosshairs of the Third Reich. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have communists, we have artists of various kinds. Basically, they're all
activists,
leftists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we get this kind of this heavy sense of irony as an audience looking at these people and thinking, oh, you have no idea what's about to come down on you. And a lot of them are, or several of them are kind of complacent. And in fact, Agnes, our heroine, she just wants to stay in her apartment because the rent is so low. And she can't, and she says at one point, you can't imagine how low the rent is. Mm-hmm. And that's her justification for staying. And that's understandable.
Well, and if we can keep talking about Agnes before she can defend herself here. I mean, she's an aging actress, right, who probably had some success. But as we know, with aging female actresses, probably isn't getting much work.
A bit part actress, as opposed to Paulenko, who is the diva actress.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so therefore cheap rent
mm-hmm.
matters.
It matters.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think the point that Kushner is making here is that when society is faced with evil or, we all have choices. And how do we as a society, as an individual, react when evil is knocking at our door? And do we recognize it? And even if we do recognize it, are we frightened of it? Do we embrace it because it's just the easiest way to go? Do we resist it? And I think Kushner in this place sort of on some subtle level is begging us to fight it.
Mm-hmm. And there's another character named Zilla, who's in, because the play was written in 1987. And Zilla is in Reagan era. I think she's in New York. Yes.
Yes.
And so she has these interruptions, as Kushner calls them, where she steps in and is often speaking directly to Ronald Reagan. And as we read these now, they seem remarkably prescient for what's going on now politically.
Yeah. And then also, a lot of interesting levels on the play, including flashbacks to, or at least little newsreel kind of things and things announcing the events of the time, too.
Which we will have narrated because Kushner meant for those to be slides so that the audience has a touchstone as to what's been happening in history along those lines. So we have a wonderful narrator, Ricardo Rivera, who is going to be narrating that so we all are on the same page. Yeah.
So three of the characters from this play, Chris Jensen as Buzz, Pam Kingsley, whom we've already talked about in front of her back, as Agnes, the aging actress, and Jamie Flannery as Who's the Hungarian. What else do we need to introduce him, or do we just jump into this scene?
Who's is a one-eyed Hungarian refugee cinematographer.
Okay, there we go. Okay, let's hear a scene from this play that we're talking about, A Bright Room Called Day, Tony Kushner's play, which will be Friday and Saturday in the South Perry district.
Well, here I am in Munich with a little money, a loaded gun, and a whole day to kill before the night train to Berlin. What to do?
Hang around the bushes?
No, Agnes. I went to the cinema, and you are absolutely not going to believe what happened.
You saw a film?
Yes, of course, but not only that. It was a Dietrich film, and there was hardly anyone there, it being early in the day, just me and some old people and some war vets, when all of a sudden, into the theater, marches a squadron of brown shirts, and guess who else?
Adolf Hitler.
Right.
You're making this up.
I am not. It was him. In a slouch hat and a trench coat and someone else with him, a man I didn't recognize.
I don't believe this.
Well, I told you wouldn't, but it's perfectly true. Hitler. And he sat down three rows in front of me. The SA sat in back of him, but I had a clear view of the back of his head. I could see the oil in his hair.
Oh, my God.
Just what I said. The film got going, and I was thinking to myself, life plays funny tricks. Here we are, watching a Dietrich film, 10 pensioners, 6 war cripples, Adolf Hitler and me. A homosexual Sunday anarchist with a loaded gun in his pocket. So I left.
You what?
I left.
Is this true?
Yes, it is.
It's true. Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
And you left.
I left.
Why didn't you shoot? You had a gun, you idiot. Why didn't you shoot?
Hoost, please stop yelling. What are you saying?
What am I saying? Why didn't he shoot? I would have shot. What is the murder with you?
Because, Hoost. Because they would have shot me.
Oh, Paz, you're making all of this up.
No, I couldn't get my hand to move, to even begin to move toward the pocket that had the gun, because I might have killed him. But they would certainly have killed me, and I don't want to die.
Adolf Hitler.
I do not want to die.
And we have to remember, this is 1933. So it's easy for us from our vantage point to think of the huge irony of the 6 million people and beyond 6 million people and everybody else who, you know, who died because of Adolf Hitler's existence over this one interesting example. But it's, among other things, it's brilliant writing from Tony Kushner, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And so so there's kind of the setup. This is fairly early in the play, that, isn't it?
Or, this is a bit later. And actually, the narration at the beginning of this scene says that right when this is happening, the opening ceremonies of the Dachau concentration camp are also happening.
Oh, okay.
So, and earlier in this same scene, Boz says he's interrogated by the the Gestapo, I suppose, and they tell him, in the woods outside Munich, we're building a camp for people like you.
Mm. So other than the surrealistic jump into the 80s and the character that's there, this takes place over, isn't it, about a year or half a year or something like that?
Actually, just about not quite 2 years.
2 years.
The play opens on New Year's Eve leading into 1932.
Okay.
Where everybody's celebrating New Year's and none the wiser.
And Agnes says in that scene, it's 1932. We're in Berlin. I feel relatively safe.
Sure. Now, this play, which was written when?
1987.
And so, therefore, it had that certain 1987 significance. Has it had a life of its own ever since, or is it just kind of getting found out, rediscovered right now?
I think it's mostly getting rediscovered now. Now, at the time of its writing, Kushner was writing it through the prism of the AIDS epidemic,
course, yeah,
for him. And so when he was having this character Zilla speak to Ronald Reagan, that's the context in which she's speaking. Mm. And so she sees Reagan as responsible, not responsible for, but kind of, but not speaking out against, so complacent toward this massive loss of life in America and around the world. When I saw it just about a week before the invasion of Iraq, which also felt there was a, that was a heavy historical moment. Mm-hmm. And but I didn't, it was the first time I'd ever heard of the play, and it's the only production that I've been, a full production that I've been aware of that I've been anywhere near. Mm-hmm. But I think now in our current moment, my sense is just looking at, you know, doing some searches online, et cetera, it seems to be seeing, be experiencing a revival.
Sure. And talk about a few of the other characters in the play. We don't have to talk about everyone, but we've met three of these here. Who are a few of the other archetypes that, that Kushner uses just in terms of telling the story?
Paulinka Erdnes is an actress in the German film industry. She's the current star, yes. Mm-hmm. She's one of the pack of five bohemians here that, that the play is centered around. And she's quite a diva. She's very self-centered. She knows it. She doesn't make any qualms about it. She is willing to make a deal with the devil.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. And so
you
so
probably are if you're right in that mid-career,
well,
that early career place.
You know, that's
what early career is about, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, if the Germans, if the Nazis make the best films, she's going to go there.
Mm-hmm. Although she points out that all of their films are about mountain climbing.
at least for a while.
Lainey Riefenstahl reference.
But the interesting thing about Paulinka is at the end, she actually performs an act of courage that is completely out of character. It really pisses her off. Mm-hmm. But she does it. She saves Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an interesting twist on her character. But she ends up, along with just about everybody else, leaving Germany.
Yeah.
The only one who really stays is Agnes.
And yeah. Agnes, let's bring you into this. Come up to the microphone again, and we talked about you. Let's let you defend yourself. how do you feel about Agnes?
I guess I worry that a little of me is in Agnes. A little of all of us is in Agnes. It's so much easier to stay where you're familiar, to be comfortable, to turn a blind eye. So in that respect, it nags at me just a little bit. Also, I'm an older actress, so I've hit the bill there, typecasting.
Mm-hmm.
She also is the life of the party. Everyone loves her apartment. Everyone comes to her apartment. And so...
Groovy old Aunt Agnes.
And the fact of the matter is she's used to that. And during the course of these 2 years, everyone leaves.
Mm.
And she's left alone with her conscience and her memories and fear of the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another character or two, just to cover range of these
the
people.
The fifth friend that we haven't talked about is Annabella Gotchling. And Gotchling is a communist artist and graphic designer. She's a bit of a rabble-rouser, and she's an activist. And she's the one who is most of the friends anxious to take action. She creates posters and hangs them all over the place for the leftist cause. She also, we find out, is a big part of the underground effort to get communists out of the country and to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Gotchling does take a stand and compels Agnes to do her part, tries real hard to get. Gotchling has some incredible speeches, especially toward the end of the show, talking about the importance of not just for the cause, but for your own peace of mind and for your own personal welfare of doing the right thing.
And she's played by whom?
Diana Trotter plays
Gotchling. Oh, that's
and Jenny Olivator.
Who's from the head of the drama department at Whitworth,
yes.
Or at least involved there. Yeah.
Yes. And Jenny Oliver plays Paulinka.
There's also these two characters, Moloch and Traum, who are sort of a Tweedledee and Tweedledum, who are these minor functionaries in the Communist Party. And they appear, and they represent, in part, I think, just the haplessness of the left at the time, mm-hmm. and the inability of the left to form a united front against the fascists. And so there's a heavy irony there, but it's also these very funny scenes where Moloch and Traum, who are played by Brooklyn Robinson and Eli Drushing, who they kind of bounce back and forth. They can't seem to agree on how to face the fascist threat.
Hmm. So the overview of a few of the people involved in this group of people in 1932, 1933, dealing with the rise of Hitler. This is A Bright Room Called Day, and it's Friday and Saturday. South Perry Yoga is 915 South Perry Street, essentially just across from where the South Perry Market will be holding forth on Thursday afternoon. And it's brown paper tickets where one can get tickets for this. You're doing it as Reader's Theater, and it sounds to me that in making this choice, this is a play where doing it as Reader's Theater is just fine because there wouldn't be much acting to do anyway, would there? No, really, isn't that kind of true, that it's the delivery of words rather than a lot of physical acting that's needed?
Well, you know, every time you approach a play, I like to try to figure out what drives the play. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, it's the relationship. Sometimes it's the action. In this case, I think you're right. I think it's the
Brechtian aspect to the use of slides, mm-hmm. where he's really, you know, where Kushner, I think, in using the slides, not only wants to situate us historically, but also just wants us to focus on the ideas mm-hmm. and not try to figure out where we are in this thing. And that's sort of a Brechtian device that he uses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it does. I think you're right, Vern. I think mm-hmm. it does lend itself to Reader's Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, we really do have a wonderful guy. I think the only person I didn't mention by name is Tony Cummins, who will be playing D'Alta. But it's really a
Melody.
Melody is playing Zilla. Sorry, yes, yeah. Melody Dethridge. Mm-hmm. So it's a really wonderful cast. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant material.
Tickets are only $10.
Mm-hmm. And proceeds will go to the Odyssey Youth Foundation.
Yeah, Odyssey Youth Movement. A safe space for LGBTQ mm-hmm. youth here in Spokane. Mm-hmm.
And they have a space just up the street from
yep.
there.
Mm-hmm. So, on South Perry.
Mm-hmm. That works well.
So, you know, it's interesting when those of us who are used to working with theater groups that are already established take on a project like this as an independent project and, you know, get to open up new spaces and work with material that may not be done in the mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's a wonderful thing to do every once in a while.
Yes. I'm really excited for people to see this as a performance space. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful space mm-hmm. on the inside, and the acoustics are wonderful.
Yes, mm-hmm. they are.
They are. Mm-hmm. And then just from the mention of all these names, it is the kind of the reunion, the family of the theater, the theater family of Spokane,
mm-hmm.
in many ways, doing this. Well, thank you very much, Chris Jensen as Buzz, Pam Kingsley as Agnes, Jamie Flannery as Hoosh, and Susan Hardy, the director.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, A Bright Room Called Day.